anytime access at iworkforhim.com.
Portions of this program may
be. Do you
be
ever have the feeling that your job is more than just a paycheck?
The job that you hold, the people that you work with, none of that is by chance.
You clock in and you clock out, but what goes on in between is more important than you might think.
Your workplace is your mission field, wherever that may be.
Your 9 to 5 or 5 to 9, your on to off twos, your doubles, overtimes, double times, part times. Your job, all the time, matters every minute of every day.
The people that you work with, they need to meet Jesus, and you may be their only chance. Are you ready to work for Him?
Welcome to I Work for Him with your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg.
Broadcasting from the heart of the I Work for Him Nation to Christ followers working in cities all over the United States, you've tuned into the voice of the faith and work movement. Hey, welcome to I Work for Him. We are your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg.
We are, and thank you so much for being here today, listeners. This is going to be a great show, and I want you to be able to know how you can share it with your friends. So if you go to our website after you hear the show, you can share that, Jim, with people by finding it on our, we have a search bar. Did you know we have a search bar? I know you do.
I've used it a few times.
So if you wanted to find the date or maybe a guest that you've heard either today or another day and you're like, oh man, what was that show? I have this friend of mine who's dealing with a similar issue. They might really like to hear that one. They can go and share it. So just go to iworkforhim.com and we have a podcast page, and there you can search and find the show you're looking for and share it with a friend.
What's fun, Martha, is this show today. Our guest is Darren Moyer, and his story, not similar to my story, but similar enough where in his young age, somebody gave him the book A Halftime.
Yeah.
And he had been successful in his career, and by reading the book Halftime, he realized that pursuing success left him empty, but pursuing significance allowed him, he realized that the significance was found in Christ. And I think that that's so important. And I, you know, when you look at our story, you know, 15 years ago, 16 years ago now, oh my goodness, almost 16 years, where my buddy Bob gave me Halftime. I read that book and I realized, no, we're not going to buy another chain of insurance agencies. We don't need to pursue success again, because we know that what it feels like, we want to live a life of significance. And that's what led us to being on the radio with I Work for Him.
That's right. And how many times do you say, man, I wish I'd have learned this at a younger age? And that's really, I think, what we're going to get from Darren Moyer is he lived a lot of life and had a lot of things he had to learn from. But thankfully, God got his attention. And that's really the lesson that so many of us need to just be aware and say, you know, Lord, I want to learn now, whatever that time might be.
It's fun. Darren's also going to talk about mentoring and mentoring and discipleship of emerging leaders, which I said, well, what does that mean, emerging leaders? Like you plant them in a field and they're emerging? No, these are young, up-and-coming professionals.
Under 40.
Under 40.
That's young.
It didn't used to be. 40 seemed old, but now 40 seems extraordinarily young. So stay tuned for a conversation with Darren Moyer. And if you've been struggling with that success, you know, like success versus significance conversation, get a copy of Halftime. Go to halftime.org, get a copy of the book. Halftime.org, but get the book, read the book. It changed our lives. You listen to I Work for Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the I Work for Him radio show. Jim and Martha will be right back in just a moment. Right now, let's thank our show sponsors. Today, we want to thank Brian Green and Helping Hands Charities for their support. Helping Hands helps your employees within your organization. By encouraging generosity to each other, Helping Hands is a charitable giving expert. Visit online at hhcharitable.org. That's hhcharitable.org. Many of our listening audience live in communities with shared utility costs. Your neighbor may run their water all day long and you're a water miser, but you both get charged the same amount. Well, Bill Wolf and his team at Think Utility Services are specialists in helping multifamily communities reduce utility costs by installing individual meters, saving water and saving money. Online at thinkutilityservices.com. That's thinkutilityservices.com. Finally, today, we want to thank Skip Stanton and his team at Aqua Plumbing and Air. Aqua Plumbing and Air, located south of Tampa Bay, is a company dedicated to great care of their customers for AC plumbing, electrical repair. Aqua is an example for all of us how to run an AC mechanical company, glorifying God with a great service reputation. Visit online at aquaplumbing.com. That's aquaplumbing.com. Once again, here's Jim and Martha.
Hey, welcome back to iWorkRoom. We're so glad that you guys tuned in this afternoon to hear just another amazing God story. We just want to remind you, this is all made possible by a strategic partnership that we've got with the God at Work TV show on God TV, which is on the Dish Satellite Network, but also online at God.TV. You know, the pursuit of success versus the pursuit of significance, it's a battle that all Christians will eventually face. And everyone faces it by the time they face death. Blessed is the one that gets faced with this paradigm shift early on in life. Today we get a chance to talk to one such man, one such young man. Just as I did early in my 30s, someone gave me the book Halftime and it stopped me in my tracks. Darren Moyer is that man, and today we're going to hear his story. Darren Moyer, welcome to I Work For Him.
Thanks, Jim. It's an honor.
Yeah, Martha and I love to have guests, Darren, that just, but we love it when it weaves in the book Halftime and the organization of Halftime. But why don't you just start, just tell us, what's your Jesus story?
Jesus story. I'll start from the beginning. I had a pretty traumatic childhood growing up. I lost both my mother and grandmother to suicide by the time I was six, and was brought in to an adopted family. Some distant family members took me and my sister in, and really had a hard time in that family. Experienced a lot of physical and psychological abuse. Ran away when I was 14, lived on the streets. Pretty much kept causing a lot of destruction in my life until I ran into a woman who I fell in love with. And she told me that she wouldn't be in a relationship if I continued living the lifestyle that I was living. And so I kind of switched directions. We got married. I was at 19 years old. I had brain surgery right around then as well. And started in the business world. I started at a staffing and recruiting company with a phone book and a phone. And I was told to go get new business. And I looked at the president of the company. I said, well, what do I say? And she says, shut the hell up and get on the damn phone and figure it out.
And that was your training.
That
right
was
there,
my huh? training. That is very old school. And I applied the same hustle that I had learned surviving on the streets to business and became very successful to the point where that became my focus of making a lot of money, and ended up coming home one day and my wife said, I feel like we're just roommates. I don't even know you and no longer want to be married. And so that set me back and went through a lot of depression and anxiety in my mid-20s. And I came to this point where because of the trauma of my past, it started to break me down. But in business, I was able to keep a polished face and so present myself as everything was okay when it really wasn't. And it started to eat me alive and kind of hit a point where everything broke down within a couple of months. Ended up getting a DUI, got fired from a job. I got involved with a mafia and starting a drug operation in Colorado Springs that went down. And I ended up getting a girl pregnant at the bar. And so 9 months later, I had my son, David. And I remember thinking, how could I ever take care of my son if I can't even take care of myself? But I experienced something in that moment, the father's love. And that crept in, and I made a promise to David that I would be there for him and I would be a good dad.
That's quite a beginning. So you said something, you know, you put on your game face when you went to work. Like, you presented like everything was great, but it really wasn't. There are so many people that we work around, that we live around, that put on game face. They go to church, they got game face on. They go to work, they got game face on. but there's no off, there's, the authenticity is missing, but there's so many hurting people, just like you are hurting at work. How do we help people at work who are hurting?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you get through the veneer?
I think it comes down to vulnerability and just being honest with people and telling them when stuff's going wrong. Just have authentic conversations. However, in the corporate world and in the world that we live in, it's very competitive. And so if someone senses weakness, they're going to exploit it. And you have to kind of keep this mask and this facade in order to protect yourself, essentially. And a lot of it for me, what I've realized is just because of my life and everything that had happened, I just didn't trust anybody. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even trust myself.
So do you think that there's anything that a coworker could have done alongside of you to help you in that moment? Or did you need to, you know, get to experience rock bottom?
I had to hit rock bottom. I really did. And shortly after my son was born, I was an atheist. I didn't believe in God and couldn't believe in a God of love. Mm-hmm. And I had a spiritual experience where I cried out to the Lord. I said, Jesus, if you're real, you have to show up right now and you have to save me. And I felt his presence and tears start streaming down my face. And this release came over me. And even though I didn't believe in God, I couldn't deny the experience and the encounter that I just had. And so I went on this devout search for truth, that I was going to remove everything that I had been told, all my perceptions, everything that I had encountered in this life, and I was going to figure it out on my own.
Yeah, I just, the transparency, vulnerability, that's one of those things that a lot of people, they don't like to display those characteristics. And I just want to hit on it for a minute, because we work alongside so many people who are hurting. I mean, we live in a hurting world. I mean, it's just, it's displayed in almost every aspect. The TV shows that are produced, the politics, you know, how people drive. I mean, it's all of those things. Knowing how you were hurting, but how you've been healed, how do you approach people that you could tell there's something a little off with them? What's your approach, knowing that you've been there, done that, you don't want to write a book about it?
Yes, I think that's a great question. And I find for me, it's, you initially ask somebody, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. What's their response?
I'm fine.
Good.
Yep.
I like to use fine because it's freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
But most people immediately, it's they put this wall up. Mm-hmm. And so it's upon us to dig a little bit deeper, you know, and I think if people see that you genuinely care, that you're there for them and you create that space for them to share. And sometimes it's just kind of doing the icebreaker. You know, if people ask me how I'm doing, I'm going to let you know, you know, I'm going to be real. And most times people respond, it's almost a breath of fresh air. Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh, me too. Or that's happened in the past, or, you know, and it creates this space of freedom for people to be vulnerable.
So I'm just curious, kind of the, you know, this next part of the story, you said that, you know, you had this encounter where you cried out to the Lord and said, if you're there, you know, I need you, or whatever your words were. And then you said you started a journey to like figure that out, what that was. What did you experience along that journey? I mean, how did that get you to where you are today?
I started going to church, and the pastor at the church had just written a book called Transit, and it was how to move in closer relationship with God, and real basic principles: read your Bible, pray, tithe, serve, and get in community. And I thought to myself, well, duh, you know, I grew up in the church. Yeah. I've heard these things my entire life. And then it hit me, is that knowledge without application is useless. And so I started to apply these things to my life.
Knowledge without application is useless.
Yes.
Okay. But it's in abundance. Knowledge without application
infinite
is useless,
knowledge.
But it's in abundance. Yeah.
Yes. And that's the scary thing about the society that we live in today, is that Google has all the knowledge that we need. And a lot of people spend their time going to Google instead of going to God.
Yeah.
And that's where the disconnect is. And so I started to apply this truth. So studying the Bible will give you knowledge, but applying knowledge will give you wisdom. And so when I started to apply the Proverbs, I started reading the Proverbs, writing them out, memorizing them every single day for the last 6 years, is that that has led me to getting discernment and direction. And God, where are you leading me? And these opportunities right here, you know, just being on God TV, sitting here with you guys, and so many other wonderful opportunities that have opened up since following God's principles and applying his truths.
So let's talk about that path. You cry out to the Lord. You've got a son. You said David was his name. How old is he now?
He's six.
6 years old. Talk about the path since that night where Jesus became real to you, when you realized, wow, he is real. What's it been like? I mean, where's God taking you? Because you were this executive, a young kid executive. Where are you at today?
So I work with Jeff Spadafora in The Way. I'm doing spiritual direction and discipleship, working with emerging leaders, all the guys that I help disciple and direct are all influential. They're all business leaders, guys like me.
When you say emerging leaders, you're talking about millennials that are up and coming.
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Under 40.
Under 40. Well, and all the millennials technically right now are still under 40.
The youngins.
And then I'm also in the business sector. I have my foot in the marketplace. I work for Core Ventures as the director of business development for them. And we have staffing and recruiting. And then we also do leadership strategy and culture consulting, working with low to middle market companies, anywhere from $1 to $500 million, and really helping them dial in their business to eventually sell. So creating succession plans and exit strategies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how are you seeing your faith today, especially in the area with the in the discipleship and the spiritual formation that you're working on, that's kind of maybe a little more obvious where your faith might fit in, but how are you seeing God use your faith in your career?
Yes. So the business is just really a front. I think of it as guerrilla warfare, right?
Okay.
You know, I love God, I love people, and I love business. Mm-hmm. And I understand the mechanics of business, and I know what it takes to be successful. And one of those things is I've been in the human capital mm-hmm. sector, right? Mm-hmm. I've been pairing really great talent with great organizations, and I do that to this day. And I felt the Lord speak to me a couple of years ago and say, hey, I want you to come recruit for me. And so he's given me this outfit that I get to wear, you know, and go into these business realms where the church isn't infiltrating, mm-hmm. you know, where the people that would never walk in the doors of a church, that I can access those places. Mm-hmm. And so it's beautiful. And I'm very transparent. And a lot of people will ask me, are you a Christian? And that always gives me pause. And I go, what do you mean by that? I always ask, because everybody has a different perspective. And this is another issue in the marketplace. Christians, if you say that you're a Christian, it's almost a bad thing. And
what do you mean by that? Or why do you see it that way?
There's a reputation, I think, mm-hmm. of people saying that they're Christians mm-hmm. and not living or adhering to the values that I believe are in the Word. Mm-hmm. And so they say they believe in God, and yet they do things that are counter to that.
And that's exactly why we're on the air every day, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah, that's what led us to being on the air, Darren. Mm-hmm. I got tired of being out there in the marketplace. And in fact, until 2009, the only people I ever lost money to in a business deal were people who called themselves Christians. Mm-hmm. And if you ask the average pre-believer out there in the marketplace, hey, if somebody comes up to you and says, I'm a Christian, do business with me, they would say, I will run the other direction.
Yeah.
We come back lots more with Darren Moyer. Again, courtesy of God at Work, a TV show you should check out. You might not have the Dish Network, but you could check it out online, God.TV. You listen to I Work For Him. We'll be right back.
Hi there, Michael Miracle here, and we'll be right back with Jim and Martha and more of the I Work For Him radio show in just 90 seconds. But first, we want to take this time and thank our sponsors for supporting this show. Today, we want to thank Luke Andrews with Inspire Advisors. Luke is focused on helping you and me to steward what God has given us in a way that is honoring to God and biblically responsible. Luke helps clients all over the U.S. His number is 727-798-4188 or online, inspireadvisors.com. Also, we'd like to thank Todd Hopkins at Office Pride Commercial Cleaning Services. Todd and his team make it possible for you to own a cleaning franchise and learn how to run it in a way that honors the Lord, honors your employees, and honors your customers. Franchise opportunities are available all over the country. OfficePrideFranchise.com. OfficePrideFranchise.com. And finally today, we want to thank Tony Dale and his team at Sedera Health and the Caris Group. Healthcare benefits for the people within our organizations has gotten out of control over the past 10 years. Sedera Health is a corporate healthcare sharing organization that is biblically designed and more financially friendly than the typical health insurance alternative. Sedera can help your groups of two or more people online. Sedera.com. That's Sedera.com. Remember, you can always support I Work For Him in our efforts to transform the workplace of every Christian into a mission field online at iworkforhim.com/donate. Now, let's get back to I Work For Him.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him. We're talking today with Darren Moyer. Darren, where can people check you out online? Core Ventures, as you said, you mentioned them earlier.
Yep, coreventures.co or the way at the way2life.org.
The way2life.org, the way2life.org. Okay. Mm-hmm. So how did God run your life into Jeff Spadafore? Just curious. He's been on the show a couple of times. He used to be with Halftime. He wrote a book. The last book he wrote, I think, was The Joy Model. I mean, how did God run your lives into each other?
Yeah, I had my executive search firm, and I'm sitting in my office overlooking downtown Denver, and my employees are in the background, and I get my financial statement from my CPA, and I look at it, and I go, I did it. I've achieved all the success I had been pursuing for the last decade, and then it hit me, and I asked myself, is this it? Is this it? Like, is this the rest of my life? There's got to be more than this. And that led me to going to Nicaragua, where I just got rocked, ran into an executive, Brian Christman, and he gave me the book Halftime. And he said, Darren, you're having your halftime. And it was moving from success to significance, literally read it within a day. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm having my halftime. And so I found Jeff Spadafore on LinkedIn and sent him a message. And I said, we got to talk. And he graciously took the call, and he's like, Darren, you need to be in men's ministry, because I told him a little bit about my testimony. And then I didn't talk to him for a couple of years, and ran into him where he was the keynote at a Mile High Young Professionals event. And he broke down his joy model, and it was totally resonating. And so we met up, and he said, hey, I've started this Emerging Leaders program, and would you like to be a part of it? And it wasn't even a question. Mm-hmm. I just said, I'm in.
So really, your model is a discipleship model. You're preparing emerging leaders for leading out, being Jesus followers, successful Jesus followers as they lead.
Yes.
You mentioned earlier, well, off the air, that really what we do when we get on the marketplace is we're expending social capital. Talk to us about the social capital that we're given and how we're supposed to use that to really move forward our faith in our work.
The simple definition of social capital is relationships. It's all about your network and the value of the people that you know.
So why do they need another word for it then? If it's just all about relationships, why do they have to call it social capital?
because it's a financial concept.
There's a value to it, right? You have financial capital, human capital, social capital, and resource capital, and spiritual capital as well. I'll throw that one in there. Mm-hmm. And I think the value and the trust that you build in your community and the marketplace really helps maximize business performance and even attracting the right people and having relationships with the people that you work and with, and building trust and rapport is significant in the success that you're going to have. Because if social capital is non-existent, if you don't value relationships, your business is going to go elsewhere.
Talk to us. You get a lot of listeners that are millennials that are trying to figure out, okay, all right, here's a guy who's in his early 30s that already figured out that Jason's success is a waste of time. And because it really is elusive. You're never really all the way there. In 30 seconds or less, speak to the audience on why pursuing significance is where they should be spending their time.
I would even add to that is pursue the Lord. Pursue Jesus, because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is life. And apart from him, he says, you can do nothing, nothing. And I think he meant that when he said it. And so we can be doing all this good stuff and think we're doing all these great things, but apart from him, if he's not at the forefront, if we're not abiding in him, then it's all meaningless.
Just a waste of time.
Waste of time.
Darren Moyer, we could talk like this for hours, but we're out of time. Thank you so much for being on I Work For Him today.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate it. Thank you again. The broadcast made possible by a strategic partnership with the God at Work TV show. Check it out online if you got Dish Satellite on the God TV channel or online at God.TV. You've been listening to I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We're Christ followers. Our workplace, it's our mission field, but ultimately, I work for him.
This is Jordan Secchio. Today on J Secchio Live, the radical left using COVID-19 crisis to call for the abolishment of families. We'll talk about that and more news on COVID-19 today on J Secchio Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., J Secchio Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Secchio.
So, folks, we're going to continue to update you as well on the House when they plan. Let me go right to Than Bennett, actually. So, Than, the Senate passed 96-0, the COVID-19 stimulus bill. The House expected to vote today. They wanted to do it by voice vote. There is a kind of rogue Republican that may be holding that up, Thomas Massie, who kind of leans libertarian, and they're trying to work through that to get a quorum there so that even if he tries to do that, they can get this passed today. What's the word on Capitol Hill today? I'm hearing the news from the vote counters that they believe they'll have a quorum by today and that it can get this passed into the president's desk.
Yeah, I think that's right, Jordan. And I think the first thing that's important to say is the outcome of this bill is not really in question. It's just the timing of it. As you said, the House came into session at 9 a.m. Eastern time today, planning to debate for 3 hours. So really right about now, as we go live noon Eastern time, Jordan, they were going to have a planned voice vote at this point. But you're right. Congressman Thomas Massie from Kentucky, there was some indication that he was not going to allow a voice vote. Jordan, when this happens, any member of the chamber can ask for a recorded vote. But if a quorum is not present, which is a majority of the House, which right now would be 216 members, they could block that vote from proceeding. And there was an indication that he was going to do that. So, Jordan, members are coming back at least to that level to make it happen. But you're right. The question is, at what point during the day will they reach that 216 level? We don't know the answer to that. And Jordan, I would just quickly say that's sort of the worst case scenario, it looks like at this point. There's still a possibility that when this voice vote request happens here momentarily, maybe Thomas Massie won't actually insist that a quorum actually be present in the chamber.
All right. So we expect, again, that this will go through. We will continue to explain for you what is in the legislation as of now. Right now, then, are we expecting the House to just vote on what the Senate passed with no extra amendments, no changes?
Yes, yes. They've been debating it for 3 hours. There are no amendments offered or debated or voted on. The vote will be on the Senate passed package. So, Jordan, again, I really do think that this is going to the president for his signature today. It's just a matter of when this afternoon.
And Nancy Pelosi did not get her new Green Deal. She didn't get her Planned Parenthood abortion funding. She didn't get the diversified boards and the alternative energy. Yes, there were some compromises made. It's not perfect because it's bipartisan, but the American people need this. The economy needs it. The workers need it. Individuals need it. Small businesses need it. Churches are included in this as well. And I'd say that Nancy Pelosi, who tried to politicize this, got caught and is the big loser in all of this.
I totally agree, Jordan. The bills that she put forward, which packed in a whole bunch of spending priorities, like you said, new Green Deal, a whole bunch of her other priorities, basically cut and paste from other bills. Jordan, all of those came out. Now, of course, in a $2 trillion bill, there's going to be some things that conservatives don't like. Big spending bills always have those. But time was of the essence. Here's what I would tell you, Jordan. The only thing that Speaker Pelosi accomplished through all this was the last few days of delay that we saw. We probably would have had a slightly cleaner bill. We definitely would have had a much quicker bill had Speaker Pelosi not engaged, but she did not win on policy items here.
Folks, Facebook had a little bit, if you're again on Facebook and Periscope, had a little bit of a glitch, so make sure to check that out now. We fixed that. That's again, you can share on Facebook and Periscope and give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. You will not believe this. This is coming from Open Democracy, a George Soros funded organization, international organization. And the headline is, the coronavirus crisis shows us it's time to abolish the family. At a time when most of us are spending time together as a family, they see it as a time to abolish the family as we know it. We'll go through this shocking report on where the left would really like to take the world, including the United States of America. We come back on Jay Sekulow Live and answer your questions. 1-800-684-3110. Remember our matching challenge. Donate online. That's the best way to get the funds to us directly so we can continue to do this work, tracking this legislation, which will keep coming. ACLJ.org, matching challenge. Donate today. We appreciate your support.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at ACLJ.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at ACLJ.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at ACLJ.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at ACLJ.org.
There was a little glitch, too. For those of you on Facebook and Periscope who are viewing the broadcast that way, more and more people, because of the quarantines that are in place, the stay-at-home orders that are in place, or watch that at home, there was a glitch at the beginning of the broadcast. The numbers are already rising. But I really encourage you to click share right now on Facebook or Periscope. Click that share button, because people may have initially gotten the notification and there was a video glitch. We're back now live with Facebook and Periscope. Of course, we're broadcasting on over 1,000 radio stations as well, and Sirius XM. But because people are at home, it's a new way that they can maybe see the broadcast they usually aren't able to do because they are at work or at other places. So that's to be able to see us in the studio. So again, click that share button. I really appreciate it if you would do that right now on Facebook and on Periscope. Click share now. It's right there. Very easy to do, to share it with your friends and family. Let me just get to this story, and we're going to keep updating you as well on, if you got questions about what's in this stimulus legislation, we can answer most of those for you now. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We expect a vote in the House sometime later today, so long as there is a quorum and this rogue Republican member, Thomas Massie, doesn't mess this up for everyone. Is it perfect legislation? No. But it's a big difference between the bailout in 2008, because this was not something created by bad mortgage lending by businesses. This is a crisis created by a virus. And so it is not like a bailout in that sense that we've seen before. That's why I think you're seeing bipartisan support when it comes down to actual COVID-19 responses and the economic responses, which are an important part of this legislation. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. At the same time, though, the left cannot help itself from trying to seize on this moment. I'd love your comments on this as well. Open Democracy is a George Soros-funded international organization. They put up this this piece a couple days ago, and I just think it's so disgusting. But it's also just tells you how these liberal groups are trying to seize on these moments of crisis that's happening around the world. So the headline is, the coronavirus crisis shows us it's time to abolish the family. What does the pandemic tell us about the nuclear family and private household? It goes on to say that nuclear households, it seems, are where we are all intuitively expected to retreat in order to prevent widespread ill health. Quote, staying home is what is somehow self-evidently supposed to keep us well. But there are several problems with this, as anyone inclined to think about it critically, even for a moment, might figure out. Problems what one might summarize as the mystification of the couple form, the romanticization of kinship, and the sanitation of the fundamentally unsafe space that is private property. Do you understand they are calling for the abolishment of private property? How can a zone defined by power asymmetrics of housework, reproductive labor being so gendered, which, by the way, is less and less these days. I don't know. Again, it's like they're relying on the 1950s when we're all living in 2020 at a time when people, you know, men and women are sharing those duties more and more, of renting and mortgage debt, which has been part of, again, the American dream of owning a home, land and deed ownership, of patriarchal parenting, and often the, of course, what they don't like, the institution of marriage. How does that benefit health? Literally, these are the words they're using. But it goes on. This is what they recommend for Los Angeles. Think about this for a moment. If you live in LA area, we got a lot of listeners in Southern California, but anywhere across the country. In LA, state officials are providing individual trailers and pop-up isolation cabins for the homeless. But a far more logical response might be, open all the hotels and private palaces. That means homes. They use the word palaces. That means your private home. Okay? On the basis of airy and light-filled sanitary housing for all. And get this one. Free all prisoners and detainees now. Remake the care facilities as spacious, self-led villages. Dismiss all the workers with full pay so they can leave their bunks forever, move in with their friends, and pursue laziness for at least the next decade. The next decade. Now, this is not the end. This is not the end. The private nuclear household genders, nationalizes, and races us. It norms us for productive work. It makes us believe we are individuals. Okay, Karl Marx. Again, it's bad to be individuals. It minimizes cost for capital while maximizing human beings' life-making labor. It blackmails us into mistaking the only source of love and care we have for the extent of what is possible. Get this one. This is how it kind of closes. We deserve better than the family, and the time of Corona is an excellent time to practice abolishing it. Now, I think we live, folks, in the exact opposite time. That mindset is so dangerous. But let me kind of give you, again, a little bit of hope, because the Christian community has gone through this before. Religious communities have faced times of plagues and persecution, and they have come together as a family, as a unit. And they have, again, it's not that they are, that God protects them from all that is wrong. But take a listen. This is a Reverend Lee Sproul of St. George's Episcopal Church in Nashville. I know Reverend Rector and the Reverend Sproul very well. And Lee, I think, had an important message. These are part of these noonday prayers that they're doing, and we're sharing on our Secular Community Facebook page. Take a listen to this, Bite 2.
The coronavirus has returned the church to normality. The coronavirus has returned the church to normality. What did he mean by that? What he meant, as he explained, was that through the vast majority of Christian history, epidemics and plagues, seasons of unexpected social or cultural upheaval were actually normative. But we've been living in this modern era for, you know, I don't know, 100, 150 years, where things like disease, pestilence, plague were more the exception than the rule. And so thanks be to God for all kinds of medical advancements that help us combat and eradicate so many diseases.
And listen to this important example from Reverend Sproul about the church in Alexandria. This was in the year 250. Dealing with something similar.
Among others, was how the church in Alexandria, Egypt, in the year 250 responded to an epidemic that swept through the Roman Empire. We believe it was measles and killed almost undoubtedly millions of people. And the bishop of Alexandria, Dionysius, wrote about this experience. And he shared that Christians not only cared for one another, but they cared for non-Christians. And so many of the very best leaders of the church, presbyters, deacons, as well as lay leaders, died in their care for one another, and they died in their care for those outside the church. And what actually happened was, despite those severe losses to the church, at the end of the epidemic, Christianity was in a stronger position and actually grew as a result, precisely because of the way Christians loved one another and the way Christians loved the world.
It's such, to me, Than, this is the direct response back, repudiation of this idea that the family must be abolished at a time when we're relying on our families more and more than ever before. And yet the liberal George Soros-backed group says, let's use this moment to abolish the family as we know it.
Jordan, the call to abolish the family is just so tragically sad. I mean, look, my view is that we were specifically and literally created for these relationships, you know, first and foremost for a relationship with the Creator. And then, of course, secondarily for these relationships with those we are blessed to call family, whether it's your spouse or your children, your nuclear family. It makes me sad more than anything, Jordan, that someone would hold to this view, because it is those bonds that make this life worth something beyond ourselves. I mean, without those, Jordan, our purpose on this earth is just so catastrophically small. But with them, with that relationship with our Creator, with those relationships with family, our purpose in this life really knows no bounds. But I'm glad you played those clips from the sermon, because, Jordan, I really do believe in the depths of me that it is times like these that open our eyes for greater clarity to what is truly valuable. It's our faith. It's our family. It's the relationships with those around us. And so while to preserve those relationships right now, we have to take a physical step back and create some physical space. Jordan, it is those relationships that we are looking to preserve, and they are the things that make our life valuable in the first place. So the call to abolish them, I would tell you, is 180% opposite of the purpose for which we were created.
When we come back, Reverend Sproul, he ends with a message about dealing with fear at these certain times. And I think it contrasts with this idea that we should let all prisoners out. Free all the prisoners, free all the workers, free all, you know, open everybody's home up to anybody instead of utilizing the family as the source to get through this crisis. And the family, too, can be in a broader sense, too, the church family as well, and your religious community as well. But at a time when we need to stay at home, as the phrase goes and the hashtag goes, you know, it's important, again, to have these reminders of hope, and to fight back against these evils of trying to abolish the family. We're watching all of this, folks, at ACLJ. Support the work that we do. ACLJ.org. Doubly impact your donation.
and donate online if you want. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
Okay, before we get into the specifics, let me, the numbers have been climbing on Facebook and Periscope has restarted that. I know a lot more people are also at home and able to join us that way. So again, I'd ask one more time for those of you watching on Facebook and Periscope, share this with your friends and family right now because we're about to start answering as many questions about what's in this stimulus legislation that's expected to pass the House today, get to the president's desk, and again, it will pass in the form we believe that the Senate, so we've got all the information now. Now it's 800 pages, and it's going to impact everyone a little bit differently. There are some broad provisions, and there are some more provisions that are based on, you know, applying for loans that turn into grants for your small business. But we can answer a lot of questions for people, at least get them on the right track. But I wanted to play this final message on the idea of fear, because I think that this is a big part of all of this. It's a big thing with the financial markets, a big part of the economy. And I think a lot of people are dealing with this. I mean, who is not to some extent dealing with the fear, whether or not you're in a safe financial position, a fear of this unknown virus that can kill, that can grow, when we don't know when normal life will return or what normal life will actually look like. Schools are basically closed across the country and doesn't look like most of those will be returning to normal school. We don't know if we'll have the normal kind of summer that we're used to in the United States of America, where children can play with other children and their friends and gather together in groups, and Easter services will likely across the country not be taking place in person. A lot of churches, as we post on aclj.org, a great article about how churches are utilizing technology. I know my church is as well. But this message on fear, to kind of sum up and contrast this with this just horrendous liberal left-wing idea of abolishing the family unit as we know it. You know, and just returning to this form of individualism and abolishing that. Listen to what the Bible teaches us through, again, a Reverend Sproul. This is from, he's from the rector at St. George's Episcopal Church in Nashville. They're doing noonday prayers every day. We've been sharing those on the Sekulow community page as well. This came from one of those this week. Listen to bite number 6 on fear.
The fundamental learning for Christians and the people of God, going all the way back to the Old Testament, is that in the midst of calamity, in the midst of disease, in the midst of death and suffering, we belong to God. And so I was struck in returning us to Psalm 91 that it says in verse 5 and 6, You shall not be afraid of any terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, of the plague that stalks in the darkness. What I note here is it does not say you shall be freed from any terror or arrow or the plague that stalks in the darkness, but that we will be freed from fear of those things.
Freed from fear of those things, not freed from any terror or arrow or the plague. I mean, think about how timely that is. The plague that stalks in darkness. We can't see the coronavirus. You know, it's something, it's invisible war that we're fighting, but that we will be freed from fear. We can be freed from fear of those things. It doesn't mean, again, that there won't be those arrows, that there won't be the plague, that we don't need to use our minds and logic and reason to battle it, to do what's right and smart, but that you can be freed of fear. And I think as this goes on, that's going to be very important. Thad, I mean, I know you write a lot about faith and your faith too. This to me, before we get into these specifics, is so important because I think fear drives a lot of the issues here. Some of it is rational, by the way. Not all fear is irrational. Some fear is very rational. I know one of my friends, his wife is an OBGYN. She's going into a hospital every single day. So he's working from home. He's taking care of the children. So this idea, when I read this article from Open Democracy, and I'm saying, oh, it's the nuclear family and the patriarchy. Here I was just talking to my buddy who is, he's taking care of the children at home because he can work from home, but they're having to fully self-quarantine because his wife, the mother of the children at home that he's taking care of, is got to go into a hospital every day. There's rational fear there, but also that just to me, it says, this is why families are so important, because they can come together these times and make things work. It might not be perfect, but they make it work.
Yeah, and I would just almost guarantee you, Jordan, that your friend would tell you that it is those relationships with his family, this time where he's got to focus on his children, that actually make living through this time and thriving through this time so important. I loved the clips that you played, Jordan, because the hope that we have is not one that is rooted in this physical body. And I mean, I think that's what's so missed in this article here. And the passage of scripture, I love the one you played, but the one that always speaks to me in a moment like this comes out of Isaiah 43, where God tells Isaiah why we were created. He says, "The people that I formed for myself." Jordan, the reason that we're here is something so much larger than just ourselves. That's why we don't have to fear. Yes, there are going to be threats to our physical body, and you know, none of us is going to escape the physical death at some point. We would hope to push that off beyond, but the fact that that does not have to be the end for us is why we don't have to fear moments like this. So I love the clip that you played, and I think it's important as we do kind of recenter where our priorities are to remember why we were created. We weren't created just for ourselves. We were created for the Creator.
And people are asking, where is this idea of abolishing the family coming from? Major international organizations are seizing on this COVID-19 moment. These are George Soros-backed, Ford Foundation-backed organizations, big organizations with hundreds of millions of dollars in resources putting out the information to abolish the family. So we wanted to contrast that today, and they're doing it in light of COVID-19. They're saying, hey, in LA, release everyone. No more private property. I mean, that's full on. That's not even, it's like total communism, communal living in this world where we're told right now to stop the spread of the virus. We need to do the opposite. That's why I wanted to kind of counteract that today. And again, you get a New York Times editorial saying make abortion more available during the pandemic, not less. There is evil. There is wrong and right in these moments. And that's why we're working around the clock in the ACLJ to make sure whatever legislation's moving through, whatever's happening on Capitol Hill, whatever legislation the president is signing, it excludes as much of those evil forces as possible. And I think in this stimulus, though, again, it's a lot. It's big. I know people have concerns, 800 pages. They may not like everything in it. Than, we were successful in getting the worst of the worst out.
Absolutely. I don't like everything in it either, Jordan. You're never going to in a moment of crisis where you have to essentially print $2 trillion. But look, the worst of the worst, all of which was added in Speaker Pelosi's bills, they came out. And I think here's the main thing, Jordan. This is pretty much exclusively about the coronavirus threat. Not 100%. There are some provisions I would point to that are unrelated. But here's what I would tell you. Those bills that we went through last week that came out of Speaker Pelosi's office, those were mostly about things not related to this virus, Jordan. On virtually all of those provisions, we won. And I will tell you this, on all of the life provisions, to your last point, those all came out. This is not going to be an opportunity for Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry to get billions of dollars.
No abortion slush fund, no new Green Deal, no mandated corporate board diversity, no airline carbon emissions requirement. Like, they could survive that right now. None of it. Okay, this is for the American people, for small businesses. So we've been working around the clock to make sure and ensure that. Support the work of the ACLJ. Double the impact of your donation. ACLJ.org. Donate today and donate online if you can. ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting...
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, or even with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Affordable term life insurance is out there. Call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-481-1458. 800-481-1458 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you.